yeah. For sure. We need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know,
that, man.
Yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Listen, this is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. TaylorMade clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.
Well, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, we're on our New York-ish, as usual. I mean, the name of the show is the New York Hip Hop Report, so obviously that would stand to reason. My name is Manny Faces. Manny Faces, the founder and editor-in-chief of Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, simply the number one website for New York area hip hop. We've been doing that for about 5 or 6 years. The New York Hip Hop event calendar on Birthplace Magazine is simply the number one place to get notified and to look up events that are happening in the New York City area that have to do with hip-hop. Not just big concerts, but indie shows, seminars, art exhibits, dance exhibitions. It's all there. So Birthplace Magazine, once again, the number one website for New York hip-hop. We don't give you everything. We're not that well-equipped. We don't have that many people. We don't have that much, you know, capital, resources. But we do a damn good job of bringing you things that you are not going to hear about enough on other hip-hop media, including our friendly neighborhood hip-hop radio stations. Now, shouts to all the independent bloggers and radio shows and radio networks and everyone who's trying to get their media hustle on in the New York City area and the hip-hop game overall. Not to take anything away from anybody else, but when it comes to New York hip-hop, we know best. So you would want to check out birthplacemag.com on the regular and find out great things that are happening in your city. That being said, we're here every Sunday night, just about every Sunday night, with the New York Hip Hop Report. This is different than a magazine or a article or a blog or a, you know, whatever it is you see on your computer screen, and it's different than a lot of internet radio shows and radio programs around. We're just talking with y'all, man. We're just kicking it. This is a live call-in sports radio type of atmosphere. You call us up. You could kick it with us. Let us know what you think about what we're talking about. We do it every Sunday from 10 to about 11:30. We go about an hour and a half these days, depending. And we talk about the issues of the day and what's happening in New York hip hop. And we'll review some events we might have covered, or we'll preview some events that are coming up. We'll talk about, you know, whatever's going on in the, you know, the mainstream that they're talking about, as long as it has to do with New York area hip hop or hip hop artists or music and culture. Oh, that's the thing. We cover the culture when a lot of places don't, because they'll ignore the rest. They think rap is just, you know, hip-hop is just rap, and we know better. So we make sure we have our friends on from different elements of hip-hop when we have guests and we talk about things that are happening in hip-hop and in New York. So that's what we do here at the New York Hip-Hop Report. My name is Manny Faces. Once again, the founder and editor-in-chief of birthplacemag.com, the creator and host of this show, the New York Hip-Hop Report. I also have a bi-weekly podcast radio program on Bonfire Radio called The Manny Faces Show, where I have long interviews with people and very often hip-hop heads, but sometimes people from other creative disciplines that, you know, I'm sure if you're listening to us here, you'd be interested in. So check out my other show. All my information can be found at mannyfaces.com. But this isn't really about me. This is about us as a hip-hop community, and particularly in New York City. Thus, I can't be doing this by myself. sitting here on Long Island, Strong Island, where I rest. I need some proper representation from the true birthplace of hip-hop, the Boogie Down, the place where people are fresh. And so I turn to my man, my Mello, who joins me nearly every week on the phone, on the technological 1-2 punch that we give you. His name is Steve Ortiz. What up, Steve?
Hey, what up, Manny? What up, everyone? This is a great technology. I mean, that you know, that we're even able to do this is awesome.
It's amazing.
And what's great is
amazing.
That people actually listen to us. And I'm glad that people tune in, man. You know, it's a great thing.
You know, it's hard sometimes. You know, you write things and you see a few, you know, clicks, and you do a show and you see a few listens. But you're right, Steve. People do listen to us. We get many, many thousands of listens a week, not just from a current episode. We love you if you're listening live. We know there's a lot of things you could be doing Sunday night, you know, getting ready for the work week or watching some shows or, you know, just kind of relaxing. But you choose to listen to us live, and we appreciate you for that. But we also get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people checking us out every week on our archives. And they've been checking out shows since the beginning of our run here. So, again, nobody gave us money to do this. Nobody initially supported us. We just decided that it was great to talk about all the great things that are happening in New York hip-hop. This is episode 116. So, weekly show, 116 episodes. Yeah, damn near 3 years. Well, 2.5 years. If you know, we skipped a few weeks, but you know, so we've been doing this for a while, and we definitely thank you guys for showing us love and showing us support and liking our Facebook page and all that. We do have some people this time around that are, you know, sponsoring and we're engaged with. So let me give a quick shout out to a couple of the organizations and events that are sponsoring this episode of the New York Hip Hop Report. Once again, it's time for Freestyle Mondays. Freestyle Mondays are one of our favorite events, my favorite hip-hop events. And matter of fact, it's just one of my favorite events. You don't even have to be into hip-hop. You don't have to be into rap to like a Freestyle Mondays get down. So on the first Monday of every month, Freestyle Mondays for 13 years now. They used to be weekly, but now they're monthly. But for 13 years, you can't have something in New York hip-hop that, you know, has been running for 13 years unless it's super, super dope. So trust me when I tell you, if you haven't yet been to a Freestyle Mondays, you are truly missing out on one of New York City's greatest live performance events. It is a live band-backed hip-hop rap battle, all constructed on the fly, freestyle rhymes, impromptu, top of the head. 8 MCs go head-to-head in the Great Game Show battle, rapping against each other, randomly drawn contestants, randomly drawn topics. And they go head-to-head, and they decide who is the victor for the evening. Victors receive cash and prizes, again, backed by some of the best live musicians in New York City, point blank. It's a free show. It is now going down at Meridian 23. Meridian 23 at 161 West 23rd Street in Manhattan. Used to be out in Brooklyn, used to be at places like Sin Sin, and now we're in money-making Manhattan. 161 West 23rd Street, place called Meridian 23. It's going down this Monday, tomorrow night, March 2nd. Get there around 9 o'clock. Get ready for the battle. The battle commences. Then, of course, there's an open mic jam session. If you're an MC, like to spit, especially off the top of the dome, that's what's preferred here. You come down and rock with some of New York City's best musicians and one of New York City's best audiences for live hip-hop. Come down to Freestyle Mondays. Monday, the first Monday of every month, including tomorrow, Monday, May 2nd, around 9 o'clock at Meridian 23 in Manhattan. So check that out. Also bringing to you this episode of the New York Hip Hop Report, on the other end of the spectrum, if you are into that current, modern-day hip-hop, that top 40 hip-hop, that, you know, crazy rap music that, you know, is just getting people excited and you get turned up and you go crazy over these songs that are on the radio today. Young Thug and Travis Scott are hitting up the Paramount out on Long Island. Now, I like Long Island. I'm from Long Island. And I like to see big venues like the Paramount. Paramount's a beautiful venue out in Huntington, New York. If you haven't seen that venue yet, it's a great venue for music. And I love that they're opening their doors to hip-hop. So Young Thug, Young Thug's big, huge, up on that Lifestyle joint with Rich Homie Quan. Travis Scott got, you know, they got both got songs, hundreds of millions of views on YouTube. you know, big hits with, you know, with the current modern day rap crowd. So check them out. If that's your thing, then you can slide over to the Paramount and check out Young Thug and Travis Scott on the 13th, March 13th, at the very esteemed venue out in Huntington, Long Island, called the Paramount. Information about that can be found on birthplacemag.com. You will see a advertisement. We'd love for you to click that advertisement and then go buy a ticket to that show. That shows people at the Paramount that people are listening to us and that we can bring people to their venue. And if that works, then they'll continue advertising with us and we can do more things and bring more information to you, and you know how this works. So if you're interested in checking out Young Thug, Travis Scott, and Metro Boomin on a DJ set, I guess he's a local cat, on their rodeo tour, check out Friday, March 13th at the Paramount. Tickets are on sale. You can go to Ticketmaster, but you can also go to birthplacemag.com. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see an advertisement for that show. Go check it out. And last but not least,
Hold on one sec. The Long Island Railroad goes out there. There's like a Huntington station, isn't there?
Yes, you can get out there by Long Island Railroad. There's a Huntington station, and there's also a Huntington station.
Oh, nice.
So I think you can go to either one and grab a taxi, and you know you can get there via Long Island Railroad. But you know, especially you can come out from the city if that's what you're looking for. I think it's the only time they're going to kind of be in this area. And you know, if you're out in Long Island, that's the place to be. The Paramount on New York Ave in Huntington. Nice spot. Good to see some hip-hop there. I'd like to see that continue. So I think people should buy tickets and go attend and have a great time and get turned up and not turned out, if you know what I mean. And, you know, that would be great because we'd love to see more events happening out on Long Island. Last but not least, Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen. This is the crux of tonight's episode. We'd love to talk about women in hip-hop. We love to do this periodically, and we do it once a year with our good friends from Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. We want you to be super extra sure to check out Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. It's a yearly event. This is their 8th annual. It's called Enough is Enough. It takes place on Saturday, March 7th at the Hostos Center for Arts and Culture in the South Bronx, part of the Hostos Community College, right, Steve?
Yeah, the Hostos Community College Arts and Culture Center.
Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, and I wrote this tonight, and I'm going to read what I wrote on Facebook as I was like prepping this show. I said, it's easy to say that hip-hop is terrible to women, and it can be true. But I know a place where women and hip-hop are wonderfully in sync time and time again. That place is Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen. It happens once a year, and it's a beautiful, beautiful organization. We're going to talk to the organizers of this event, La Tere and Kathleen Adams. They're going to call us up. They've called us up for the past 2 years. We love talking to them. We love their event. It's an all-ages, family-friendly event that showcases and highlights women and young women and girls and hip-hop all in the same place. There's performances. There's vendors. There's guest speakers. There's love. There's respect. And it really personifies, really exemplifies, it really demonstrates the power of positive hip-hop and what women in hip-hop are when you look past what, you know, people call hip-hop out for being misogynistic and all these things that everyone knows to be true, but a lot of people think that that's where it ends. And we're going to talk about that tonight. It does not end at misogyny. That's not hip-hop's only relationship with women. Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen is a great example of this. It's going to happen this Saturday. We are a proud media sponsor. In the past, we've just had them on the show, and we try to spread the word. We are a proud media sponsor of this event this year. We're going to be doing everything we can to make sure that people come out and check it out. It's a free event. It's an all-day event. You're not going to want to miss it. Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen, and stay tuned a little while from now, a few minutes, just about 10 minutes from now, the organizers from this great organization will be on with us as they are every year. Steve, I'm so excited to talk to them. I'm so excited to get this this concept out there that it doesn't end with misogyny. You know what I mean? That's not where hip-hop and women have to be.
No, it's very true. And, you know, sometimes I, you know, in my older years, I guess I feel some guilty sometimes when I listen to, you know, rap songs that do contain misogynist lyrics, you know, from some of my favorite rappers. And you know, I feel like I even expose, you know, the younger generation to songs like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, yeah.
So, you know, you know, I just wish more artists would focus, you know, on real, you know, real-life topics and stop, you know, talking about, and this is not everybody, this is, you know, a lot of the mainstream, you know, the guys that you know, lots of records. It's not, you know, Drake sells a lot of records. It's not necessarily even that Drake, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just misogynist lyrics, you know, the artist, the stuff, the music about, you know, just people, you know, living the life when that's not a reality for everyone out there.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Steve, this is something that's been, like, I've been trying to, like, grasp my, you know, wrap my head around this. By the way, you guys, check us out, nyhiphopreport.com, for all of our past episodes. I want to make sure you know that nyhiphopreport.com, we have all of our past episodes and an email mailing list. If you like what you hear, please sign up. Please sign up for that email mailing list. I give you one email a week, and we give you topics for the show, and we connect you with some of the things we're doing on Birthplace Magazine and some of the stuff I do on the Manny Faces Show. Trust me when I tell you it's not. It's great content. It's great stuff. If you're listening to me now, you're going to want to sign up. Please, nyhiphopreport.com. Follow us on Twitter. Shout us out, nyhiphopreport. You know, we're also available on iTunes as a podcast. You can check us out. Just go to iTunes, search for us, and get our weekly episodes downloaded automatically. Steve, one thing I've been trying to wrap my head around is, you know, there's a lot of things that get said about hip-hop. We're going to talk about this in the second half of the show. There was an article on the Daily Beast where a guy who wrote the article, I forget his name. I want to give him his respect. I'll give his name in a second. He wrote an article, and it was titled "No Respect for Hip Hop's OGs: Why Many Legendary
Stereo Williams is the guy."
Stereo Williams. No respect for Hip Hop's OGs: Why Many Legendary MCs Still Need to Hustle. And we'll talk about this in depth later. But the crux of his argument or his article or his think piece or his opinion piece, whatever you want to call it, was that, you know, rock bands from the 70s can still sell out arenas and go on tour and have these big shows, whereas you have, you know, certain rap bands or rap groups or you know, Public Enemies of the world are relegated to performing in smaller venues and don't get the kind of reverence that some of these rock groups or white groups or other types of genres of music get. And he blamed that basically on, you know, rap radio being taken over by the corporate, how rap radio doesn't pay any attention to the old school, and, you know, how rap media sucks in general. And went on a long diatribe about this and basically said it's a shame that no rap radio or no rap media, no blogs, no magazines care about these OGs. Now, I got a few things to say about that. In fact, I penned an entire response to that, which has absolutely taken off. I'm really kind of blown away by the response that my response has gotten. You can check that out at birthplacemag.com, where I said, yeah, hip-hop media does suck. I've been saying it for years. I've been calling them out and printing on this show. Hip-hop blogs and magazines and radio is garbage. We've taken Hot 97 to the FCC. I've petitioned the FCC against Hot 97 for turning their back on hip-hop culture as a whole. So I agree completely with what Mr. Williams is saying. However, he leaves it at that. He ends the conversation as, look how sucky hip-hop media is, look how sucky hip-hop radio is, and our hip-hop OGs are suffering and doing crappily because of it. My whole thing, Steve, with all of this, and including what they say about women and hip-hop, we all know that hip-hop media sucks. We all know that hip-hop radio is corporatized and a whole bastardization of hip-hop radio, and it's great for the young kids, and it's cool to play some top 40 stuff, and we don't mind getting turned up here and there. But we know that there's no balance and that we need that in our lives, or else they're just running hip-hop into the ground. We know this. We know that rap music and R&B music now is incredibly misogynistic, especially on the mainstream level. We know this. We don't need you. This was on Daily Beast. This is a widely read website. The Daily Beast is huge, right? What I think is actually doing a disservice is when you get on some of these platforms and you write articles like this that are just pandering to the base. They already know that everyone, that this stuff sucks. They feel that old school hip-hop is being disrespected. They think that women are being disrespected in hip-hop, and they clap it up for your piece that did nothing but agree with them. That's not a think piece to me. That's not important. What is incredibly important, and what Mr. Williams and the Daily Beast failed to do, and this is what I wrote in my response, was they failed to say that despite the fact that hip-hop radio sucks and that hip-hop media sucks, there are outlets that do respect the OGs. My outlets are one of them, Birthplace Magazine. I big up the OGs whenever they come in town. Whenever we've put stuff on our site left and right, our calendar is chock full of any performance we can get our hands on that has an OG, you know, performing in it. The same thing could be said for women in hip-hop. We all know that hip-hop treats women badly. We know that from a business level, there's no, you know, mainstream female MCs. You've said it yourself, Steve. We'd love to see some more of that. We know that there's plenty that are qualified, you know, to that if they just got a chance, could satisfy the masses if they were played on Top 40, you know, radio, not just Nicki Minaj or what have you. Certainly not like Iggy Azalea, who isn't even in the under the umbrella of hip-hop, as far as I'm concerned. But they leave the conversation at that. They say, that's it. Hip-hop, misogyny, women, sucks, garbage, horrible. Let's keep it moving. And I say, yes, that's partially true. In fact, that's a lot of times true. But you're doing a tremendous disservice if you leave the conversation at that and you don't do the research and you don't point out the people who are doing a wonderful job of demonstrating how hip-hop and womanhood and, you know, can come together and do come together now for 8 years and have demonstrated that what you hear is one thing, but what's actually out there is another. They deserve that voice. They deserve, and that's why it's so tough to me that when you get people that are simply calling out the negative in hip-hop and they leave it at that, it's like, dog, that's obvious. But don't you see what these women are doing? Don't you see what a great platform Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen is every single year? Don't you see what Birthplace Magazine is doing by bigging up these OGs that you say don't get any respect? So don't toss us in and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Take the time to find and discover and promote and support those organizations that are out there doing the work that is necessary to make things better in the hip hop culture. That's my diatribe for tonight, but to show exactly what I'm talking about, once again, we're incredibly honored and happy to have the ladies from Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen on the line with us tonight. Latere and Kathleen Adams are joining us once again, as they have for the last 2 years. Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, the ladies are in the house tonight. What up?
Hey,
what's up?
We are so happy to be on this call, or to be on the radio show tonight. Thank you so much. Volume 8 is coming up next week. So excited. Me here in New York, Kathleen, Laz coming from Chicago. We have an amazing lineup, and thank you so much for your support.
Yes, exactly what Kathleen said. Word.
Well, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you guys on, you know, and tell us, you know, what's going on. We've been to, you know, the events the last couple of years, and we've, you know, obviously, you know, preached your gospel because just so supportive of the type of program you put together year after year for Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. I know you guys do things during the year, but it really culminates at the yearly event that goes on. It's been going on at Hostos for a couple of years now. And just for people who are listening for the first time, they're like, oh, my God, they're on fire tonight with what's – I can really, you know, go see something that's local in New York City and is great for the woman perspective, and there's going to be performances and vendors and speakers and everything. Are you kidding me? I'm so excited about this. Tell people basically
Yay.
Just what it is, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. What does that mean, what it is, what it's about, and what we got going on this year?
Okay, well, it takes place on Saturday, March 7th at Hostos Community College in the main theater, which is on 450 Grand Concourse and 149th Street. It's from 2 to 5, and it's free. So Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen is a hip-hop concert, but it's an all-women's hip-hop concert. And what our vision is to give these women a platform from all ages, women of all ages. It's intergenerational. To give them an opportunity to say whatever they want to say using the art of hip-hop, using the culture of hip-hop. And so it's an amazing, like I said, intergenerational collective of women just sharing their testimonies around what they're going through as women, what are their successes, what are their failures, what are the pains, what do you celebrate? And so, you know, that's what we stir is this big pot. That's why it's Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen is this big pot of women just, like a jambalaya, you know what I mean, or a sancocho or whatever you want to call it, but just a big pot of of love and of and what we understand is medicine for the community, you know? So bringing some type of healing to the community, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, this goes back, this is the 8th annual edition of Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. How did it really start for you guys? La, I know you're an artist yourself. So I know that you were in the game and you know, making music and doing things. And I know you have some activism stuff that's been going on as well. So, like, how did the whole thing start 8 years ago? What was the inception of the whole idea? Was the organization, did the organization exist before the events, or, you know, did the event, like, kind of started off? Where did this all start from?
Actually, we started out about 8 years ago. We actually weren't trying to do anything at all. We thought we were just going to have, like, an event, bring people together, focus on women of color and hip-hop, lower the rates of HIV in communities of color. One time of saying 75 people. But 8 years ago, we had the ability to bring together a crowd of about 500 people. It was so amazing. And from there, yeah. It was so crazy. This is the genesis of Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. Like, Lon and I met in Atlanta at the U.S. Social Forum. And we met at the U.S. Social Forum, and from there, it was just kind of magic. We weren't trying to do anything at all.
I always say that it was divine intervention because I had a vision, but I really didn't know how to articulate my vision. And when Kathleen came, you know, and was like, man, I have, like, this money, you know, I want to do something for, I was like, girl, I already know. And the importance behind Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen is that this is a form of resistance. Yet we talk about hip hop and we talk about women in hip hop and how women are, you know, all the things that we have to go through. For me, that was my own personal experience, like being in the back when there's a whole bunch of dudes and it's just me and they think one thing. Either they like what I look like and, ooh, you're thick and yum, or two, they think I'm the freaking manager of one of the groups of guys that's rapping, or three, they think that I'm a singer, like a backup singer. So, right. So, I mean, this is real, and this is what women have to go through when you're in the hip-hop scene. There's not a lot of women, and now there are, you know, but,
well, yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, at the same time, you know, yeah, there's more artists, but there's also more women that aren't artists. You know, there's more, you know, that whole, there's another side economy that's kind of attached to hip-hop now when you have video vixens and a strip club economy. That whole sub-economy is now attached itself to hip-hop, so you might get looked at the same way, even though there's still more, you know, there's more acceptance for women, you know, in the game. I was going to say, this is also
this
a metaphor.
This was eight years ago for me, so 8 years ago it was still pretty hard, you know. Now, because of events like Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen and other amazing events that are happening for women in hip hop, it's shifting. And yeah, there's the video vixens that we still love, and we take them in, and we, you know, our work is to bring awareness around the culture of hip hop, not the rap industry.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And that's something that's, you know, certainly in short supply, because people do just think rap is, you know, hip hop is rap, and at the end of the day, they forget that there's a community behind this. There is that open arms community that, you know, has always existed in hip hop. You know, and I think it also, I think for women in particular, I think what it does is, because you always bring in, it's an all ages event. You always bring in young women. You have girls there, very young sometimes. Just seeing the positivity and the incredible artistry and intelligence and articulation.
Thank
that, you know, whoever you guys pick, whatever's on the lineup, has always been, like, top-notch, really admirable talent that young girls can look up to.
Thank you.
I think that also works in, like, in conjunction with real life. Like, there's parallels, right?
Yes. Yes. What you see on the stage at Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, we live this every day. It's not just a show. We just happen to use that day to exhibit women during Women's History Month. But there are women that are doing this every single day. This is their grind every single day. And there's the young women that are like, ooh, I want to aspire to be a Kathleen Adams. I want to be a Rockefeller. I want to be a Liquid or an Atlas, you know, or a Latere. Like, now we're watching. We have Nene Ali, which is 17 years old now. She started with us when she was like 8 years old or something like that.
We're so glad that she's been with us since like day one, because like literally, like, she didn't have to continue with this in this movement at all, but she chose to, and we're so appreciative that she's continued with building with us, I guess you could say, and organizing with us. And we couldn't do this without her, you know. Everyone talks about the elders and, like, you know, paying it forward to the elders who, like, laid the path for us. So I feel like Nene Ali has definitely helped us as a young woman formulate and make stronger Mama Scope Kitchen, and I love her for this.
Yes, her vision is amazing.
We're on with the ladies from Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. Their 8th annual event is happening this Saturday, March 7th at Hostos Community College. You know, one of the things that you guys have always done, I want to make very, very clear, is what you said a little earlier, that yes, it's a hip hop concert and there's going to be plenty of really talented hip hop performers. Many that you've mentioned, we know personally, we've had on the show, you know, Liquid, At Last, you know, we know a lot of Genesis B, you know, that we know a lot of them, and we're so just supportive of what they do, but it's more than a concert. So, you know, it's more than just, you know, women rappers, you know, on stage, which is great in of itself, but you have a lot of other things going on, and you always have kind of an angle towards a theme or looking, you know, to increase awareness about certain issues that are, you know, face women and just society in general. What are some of the other things going on besides the actual musical performances?
Well, this year the theme is Enough is Enough, so we feel very timely in terms of the culture with Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter, I guess you could say, in terms of the murder of Trayvon Martin, just, you know, everything that's going on in New York in terms of police brutality. I'm not going to say New York, I guess you could say like the United States or international level as well. We're just really fed up, and so we want to really focus on community injustices and mobilizing the public. I think we'll have to see more on this,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about is we are dealing with women who have been raped, have been assaulted, have been molested, they've been abused, and that's one thing. But this is happening in so many different ways, like the forced sterilization, the breast ironing that's happening, the female genital mutilation, the prostitution, the sex trafficking, the honor killing, the acid throwing, the trafficking, the police brutality, the femicides and wattes. I mean, there are way too many things happening, and we can't afford, we can't afford to say, oh, that's taboo, we can't really talk about that, that's something that's cultural, or that's religious. Look, I don't care, I'm a part of the human race, and if something's happening to a young woman, it's for me, I have to talk about it, based on my own trauma, you know what I'm saying, and I have to advocate for women, and that's the work that we're trying to do, so giving women the space to talk about what they're feeling and what's hurting them, but also to connect our local community and let them know that there's international pain happening with women. We're not the only ones going through it. How are we going to become global citizens, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, there's a news story in the last few weeks out of the Bronx where, you know, a 12-year-old girl was raped, and the perpetrator is still out there. You know, as a parent, you know, you go crazy when you hear about these things because, you know, you want your children to be safe and you want people to respect them, and especially women. You know, it's a shame that women just get taken advantage of in the streets, that they can't walk down the streets and not be, you know, looked at or you know, catcalled at or touched.
Street harassment.
You know, or grabbed. I mean, it's so unfortunate. And I just, you know, programs like, you know, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, I think you guys seek to educate and you know, make people aware. And that's a great
word.
Thing.
Yeah. So there'll be vendors as much as we can with that, you know?
And it's only once a year, but, you know, we have, the finances come out of our pocket. This is something that this is our contribution to the community that has given us so much. You know, we've evolved because of the South Bronx. Honestly, we're from the Midwest. We're from Chicago and from Ohio. And, I mean, what we've learned in New York City and how we learned how to organize and just seeing poverty that way, I mean, the South Bronx has really, and the brilliant people, I mean, the brilliant people that come out, that are in the Bronx, I mean, this is our way of contributing back to something that saved my life, which is hip-hop, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, and on that note, like, what have been some of the effects of previous editions of Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen? Again, 8 years strong, and just give us some idea of, like, what you know, what success stories have come out of it, what people have gotten out of it, what young women especially, I think, is really where you gain probably the best outcome, you know, from young women who come and see this. And, you know, they don't see women in hip-hop this way too much because of how, you know, it appears in the mainstream. What are some of the great things that have come out of this program that people can understand why it's so important what you do?
Well, speaking of the mainstream, I think for us, we weren't really trying to penetrate mainstream, but mainstream has kind of come to us. 2 years ago, we had the pleasure of filming with MTV for MTV's Made. They sought us out. They were like, well, what does it mean to be a woman, especially a woman of color in hip-hop? We filmed the episode with them. And so for us, I think it really helped show the public that, you know, you can be creative and artistic without, you know, being super sultry or, you know, showing the other side of you. And so for us, I think all the young women who come to our event, they see a packed house with 1,000 people for free on a Saturday afternoon in the Bronx, and women are on stage rocking the mic, and that's testament to the hard work that we put in and the community has put in. So that's why we love organizing for Mamas Without Kitchens.
Yes, and I mean, success stories, everybody's a success story because we, I mean, just having people come back, that's a success story, you know. 8 years is a success story. But, I mean, if you want to talk about individuals, I've seen GNU, you know, go on to do their own things individually and still be a group. I've seen, you know, Nene Ali, who's now hosting Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. This is going to be her third year hosting, 17 years old. This is her show, you know. I've seen people get married and have children. like, you know, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen has become, and this is nothing about me and Kathleen, man. Like, it's just beautiful to watch how people are connecting. Like, there's a synergy. There's, like, this magic, which is what Kathleen said. There's, like, a magic that happens. People are alive and are giving the best of them, and it carries me through a whole year. The energy of Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen gives me a whole year of life, man. You know, and I know it does for Kathleen too, but there's other people that feel the same way about it, and it's not us, it's everybody else that shows up. This was just our vision, you know? Like, people are showing up and bringing 6 kids with them, their 6 children, and their husband. You know, their husband that doesn't do anything that's like women in hip-hop. Like, what's that? You know, so it's real. Like, brothers that don't take their wives out, bring their wives to this event, or their girlfriends that nobody knows. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a combination of, it's a no judgment zone in the sense of people are coming in and just with the open heart. And that's success. I mean, it's going confidently in the direction of our dreams. And that's the energy that everybody there has. Hands down.
I was watching some of the performances on YouTube, and it's great to see, you know, these young women express themselves. You know, I saw Ashley Jordan in 2014 singing X Factor by Lauryn Hill a cappella. I saw MC Beats, beatboxer, female beatboxer.
Yeah, we love her, Megan, yeah.
Then I also had a Mexican MC, Audrey Funk, who I had never heard of until I saw the performance. I was like, wow, this is, you know, it was really nice.
Such a diverse crew who, like, rocks at our event, and I think that's what makes it very special, that, like, you know, you're not just going to see, like, an international act or just, like, a local act. You'll definitely see, I guess, like, a combination of the best of both worlds with Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen.
Yeah, MC Chela, DJ Chela.
Chela, we love Chela, yeah. And her love bazaar.
I love her so much.
Didn't she just love her? Yeah. Anyone who knows her, just, oh, I love her. Oh, I love her. She's just love. She's love personified. She's amazing.
Yes. Shout out to DJ Chela, who's, I mean, been with us, DJ Lalo, Kiana Parks,
Jasmine Solano.
I mean, we've had some beautiful women just share, because they want to, because they understand, and because we were all little girls too, you know, once.
Yeah.
And if we can be a part of creating something bigger and better for, and the battle that we have against the hip hop that's playing on the radio, man, you don't know, this battle is huge. Like, I mean, but how do you explain that to your 6-year-old niece when she thinks it's so, you know what I mean? Not that that's what my niece is doing, but she might, you know, like, pop that thing, just like, come on, bro.
Yeah, you know what? Nah, you know what? It's a big thing to me because, I mean, you know kind of what we do a little bit, and you know what I've done and where I've, you know, taken mainstream radio to task. And it's a lot of people in the hip-hop community, what frustrates me is that when you bring up some of these things about how, you know, the Hot 97 or the Power, whatever, you know, and it's across the country, not just New York, but the radio plays what they play. You know, I'm not for censorship. I'm not in that zone either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the old Tipper Gore. You know, when I'm not going there. You know, but at the same time, I get a lot of people who say, "Well, you know what? I'm real hip hop. I don't even listen to the radio, so it doesn't bother me." But you got to understand that young people are listening to the radio, whether you're not, you know, whether you might not be, but your nephew is, your niece is. So it's not enough to say, I don't pay it. I'm not going to listen to them. That you actually have to listen to them so that you know, what it is to what you're combating and to know how to present the alternative.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
And so that's why we have, you know, people that talk about the vendors that talk about domestic violence or other types of services that are in the community, because unfortunately women are being abused in every single way. So we have to show them that in their own community, there's resilient, amazing organizations that are there to support. And, you know, they're hidden in somebody's neighborhood, but there are places for domestic violence. There are places for, you know, different kinds of counseling, healing centers. And that's what we hope to be able to do with the vendors that we have in the lobby, and also help the vendors, help those that create amazing art so that they can make some money, you know, because their unemployment is ridiculous right now.
Yeah, true indeed. True indeed. We have to support each other, not only with, spreading the word, but financially. I mean, it's part of the game. It has to be done, for the community to be taken seriously. And that's part of it. You have to put your money where your mouth is. Who are some of the organizations that you guys have? Just real quick, a couple of vendors that you mentioned that are there to help, you know, kind of spread the word about these things.
We've got Bloom Health is doing our HIV testing. We've got Color Girls Hustle. They're doing tabling. We've got a dessert company. They're going to be providing desserts for us. We have our own.
Are you there?
Hey, Kathleen?
Yeah, Kathleen, you were in and out.
Yeah.
We just lost Kathleen. We'll
it's all right. I'll pick up where she left off. So it's all good. Love you, Kathleen. So we have Mothers on the Move, which is in the South, which is on Intervale, in the Hunts Point area. We have, who else do we have there? Well, we'll be selling Mama Tip Top Kitchen shirts if you want to support also. Then we have the Chilean sisters. They were exiled from Chile. They have their indigenous work, like artwork and jewelry and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Who else do we have? Guerrilla Republic, Existence is Resistance. So there's probably like 33 organizations that will be tabling there. And the Zulu Nation will be there. So it's all kinds of different folk. Everybody brings whatever they're experts at.
Hey, Kathleen.
Yes.
Kathleen's back.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm back here. I'm sorry.
I just named like 15 other organizations, so we're cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, like I said, we've been there before. We've seen the energy. Like I said, the energy is very you know, it does sustain us for a while. It's a wonderful experience. It's something that you bring your daughters to, you bring your sisters to, you bring your nieces to, but you also bring your brothers to, you know what I mean? Because I think that, and you bring your nephews to and your sons, because when they get to see such positive women doing positive things, maybe it makes them think twice about the next time they play a Chris Brown song or whatever, whatever the case may be, you know.
Oh, even Usher.
Gosh. Well, yeah, you know, they're all, you know, listen, What I think is, you know, we need the balance, you know, and you guys really provide that balance. You provide that other side. You know, I don't want to say it's okay for what we hear on the radio or what we experience, whether it's okay or not, or whether it's, you know, preference or not, or whether it's too much sometimes. If there's balance, if there's that other side, then people will learn how to make, you know, their own choices, and they'll make common sense decisions. But when you're not seeing the other side, then you don't even know. And that's why it's so, so urgent and important for me personally, for me and Steve, for our organizations, to make sure that everybody knows about what you're doing, because you not only present the other side, but you do it in a way that's, you know, exemplary. And we're very proud of our involvement with you guys, and very, you know, very salute to you guys for this.
Oh, for real. And it's a free event, which is, I mean, I had to look at the flyer again. I did a double take because I'm like, this is all free. I mean,
we work really hard to make sure that it's free. everyone said that, you know, oh, you can't bring 1,000-plus people together for this event. The Law and I have worked really hard the past 8 years to continue to make it for free, so please support us. You know, it's going to be 1,000 people this year. Definitely get there early. Doors open at 2. The show begins at 2:30. Tabling and vendoring begin at 12 o'clock, and same with the HIV testing. So it means a lot for the community to support us, and we love it.
Yes, and it's private HIV testing, so everything is pretty, yeah, it's very private and all of that. So we need people to get tested. We really need, there's a lot of people that have not been tested, and, yeah, we're in a state of emergency.
Why do you think people are afraid to get tested? I mean, it's just a fear of shame or, like?
I think it has to do with, like, health insurance. We originally started this. You know, as America was a state of emergency in terms of health insurance and in terms of basic care. And we have been striving to provide those resources for individuals who thought that they couldn't get tested or do this or do that. And so, you know, we want to take the stigma away from it and say, you know, come to our event. It's not entertainment, like educating through entertainment and, you know, get tested. It's free. Why not? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's also very, I mean, even though, you know, HIV is way, it's way more accepted, I guess, you know, you can see it on billboards, like there's medication and all of those things. There's still the stigma behind it. And it's still a very scary step to find out that you have it, because it's what's going to happen after that. Then how are people going to treat me? And I mean, everything that comes with that is still so very frightening. So people would rather not know. But as that's happening, you know, it's being spread. Or people are being infected, right?
And
we're open. We love everybody. You know, we want people to know what their status is so that they could get the help that they need.
Absolutely. I'll say that, you know, even though there may have been improvements in years or numbers may have been decreased, I don't know the stats or whatever the case may be. You know, things are still serious business, and any improvements or any increase in awareness or any lessening of the stigma, anything that might have made it easier for people to accept that they can go get tested and not feel kind of ashamed to do it, has really been in large part because of organizations and people like you. So again, just I can't salute you guys enough for, you know, being out there on the front lines and really doing the work that a lot of people are afraid to do or aren't concerned about, you know, because a lot of people are me, and this is clearly not a me situation. This is a you, and you guys are putting it out there and doing great work. So.
But we want to say thank you to you because of, you know, and I will always say this every time I'm on this show, that because of you, people hear about us. You know, there's flyers and there's Facebook and all those things, but it's dope when people take out the time to give us the platform for us to talk about, you know, how this started or why it's important and not just a flyer. The flyer is not enough. And so thank you for having this, giving us the space, giving us the platform, you know, to talk about what we do and why it's important. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, most definitely. It's like, you know, we can't do it just as women. We definitely need our brothers in the struggle as well. So we love your support.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely our pleasure to do it. You know, we rock with you every year without question. And super glad to be involved. And we'll see you there. We'll continue to tell people this week so that they're, you know, anyone who's going to listen, obviously, on the archive show is going to hear about it. But we'll use all of our social media and we'll do everything we can to spread the word and come out there and see some of our sisters rock, man. It's always good to see some of these ladies do that thing, man. So it's going to be fun.
Yes, it is. It's going to be
awesome. What's the website?
Thank you.
www.mhhk.org. Yes, mhhk.org.
All right, there you go.
And that's on Facebook? mhhk.org.
All right. Say again, Steve.
Facebook as well?
Facebook is Hip Hop Kitchen.
Yeah, and same with Twitter and Instagram,
Cool.
Hip Hop Kitchen,
Yep. All right, there it is. Once again, Saturday, March 7th from 2 to 5. Get there a little early. It's going to get packed, but there's also a lot of vendoring going on and different things to look at, get information about, purchase, help support, and you know, there's always good stuff to get into, as well as the performances starting around 2:30. 2 to 5, Hostos Community College, the main theater at 450 Grand Concourse at 149th Street up in the Bronx, where the people are fresh. Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, Volume 8, Enough is Enough. For more information, visit mhhk.org or shoot an email over to mhhk@mhhk.org. Latare and Kathleen Adams, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. See you on Saturday.
Thank you. Peace and love.
All right. Peace and love back at you. We'll see you Saturday.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. Bye.
Peace.
There it is. Once again, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, a really great organization, a really great event that goes on every year. We love them. We love what they do, and it's really a good time, and it's such a great community, family-friendly, all ages. Definitely bring, you know, young ladies and girls out to. I brought my daughter a couple years ago, and, you know, I know that she remembers it to this day. So, you know, shout to some of our friends and family who are performing there. Again, Liquid is going to be performing. She's been on this show before. Atlassus had her works on birthplacemag.com. Genesis B as well. And just a ton of other artists and of all, you know, singers, dancers, rappers, you know, beatboxers, like you
it's
said.
It's true, man. I mean, even if I was watching one of the Hip Hop Kitchen videos on YouTube, and they even have a teacher who comes out. I don't know if she'll be there this year, but she's a history teacher for fifth grade, and she comes out and she, you know, helps the kids sing and dance. Being in her classroom, she encourages it as part of, you know, learning about you know, social studies, you know.
Yeah, no, it's, and I guess guest speakers, and of course, like I said, the vendoring in the lobby. I mean, she talked about the Chilean, you know, exiles and HIV testing, and you know, just different organizations that, you know, you might not want, like, you might see what they're into as a young lady or someone that knows a young lady that might need help in a certain area. And you might not, you know, you'll get the little pamphlet or the little flyer, and maybe not right there, but later on you might give a call or check out their website or pass that information on to you, you know, a family member or somebody you know who might be dealing with an issue that this organization is covering. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I think it's a wonderful event. It doesn't happen but once a year. It only happens for a few hours. Make your way down to Hostos Community College. Bring your, like I said, young ladies down and check it out. It's super important. So once again, we'll have a full preview of that event on birthplacemag.com, but you can check out the information at birthplacemag.com/events. birthplacemag.com/events. Again, this Saturday, March 7th, you'll see a featured listing, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, Volume 8. This is the New York Hip Hop Report. My name is Manny Faces. I am the founder and editor-in-chief of Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com. I hope you like it. We got a new look last few weeks, and we're straightening out some of the kinks, but for the most part, it's been doing really good. And I want to thank you, Steve, for joining me again this week, as you are pretty much every week on the New York Hip Hop Report. We're here from 10 p.m. to about 11:30 every Sunday night. We're talking about things going on in New York area hip hop. Now, we could talk about Action Bronsons, or we could talk, and we do, and we talk about Joey Badass sometimes, okay. We talk about Dipset sometimes, okay. We talk about Fetty Wap, you know what I mean, making the big joint that's hitting all over the place right now. You're going to hear about that stuff from a lot of blogs and a lot of radio outlets. And shouts to everyone doing their media thing. But understand that only a few people are going to bring you information about Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. And that's what we're trying to do. We want to make sure that we're the ones that you know
that's
you can come
I'm
to.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, I mean, you think Hot 97 will mention this?
No, of course not, because they didn't pay him. Like, and listen, I'm about money, too. Don't get me wrong. I need people to start advertising on Birthplace Magazine. You know, I get 100 to 200 people checking that calendar every day, Steve. We get hundreds of people checking that calendar every day. You could buy an ad for that calendar. You know that? You could buy a featured listing for that calendar. And I think you're foolish if you don't. But at the same time, I'm not going to not get – we're media partners with Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen because we really respect what they're doing, and we need to help that movement. And they didn't pay us a dime. But we have to put all of our effort into helping them get their message out. So, yeah, I understand High 97 is a commercial outlet. And this is why we've taken them to court, basically. Because we said, you can't represent hip-hop if you're not representing hip-hop. It's a culture. You're discriminating against people if you don't do that. So, no, you're right, Steve. You're not going to hear about it on High 97 because they're not getting paid for it. And that's why they do not represent us. They don't represent hip-hop. And they really shouldn't be saying they're where hip-hop lives. And we've taken them to the FCC to make sure that they stop saying that they are where hip-hop lives.
And that's why they're taking a hit.
And one of these days, they're going to stop saying where hip-hop lives. Mark my words. And it's because of what we did, because we told them to stop. And you can't say where hip-hop lives, because hip-hop isn't a genre. It's a community. And that's what Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen does a great job, especially with women, man, because women get treated badly by hip-hop sometimes. Come on, we got to stop fronting. I listen to songs, like you said, Steve, you know, with misogynistic lyrics, and I'm not gonna turn my back on all the songs I like or the artists I like from the past or the present. You know, I roll my eyes sometimes. But, you know, artistry is artistry. Yeah, I let my daughter listen to them. I do, because my daughter's also going to look at the other. They're going to have that other aspect. They're going to have that balance.
Well, she has the education about, you know, that not.
Right. So I'm going to do that. Exactly, because I'll let her listen to it. My daughter, listen, my daughter is rocking. My 16-year-old daughter is singing along to Bobby Shmurda. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, she's listening to Slick Rick. And she's listening to The Temptations, and she's singing along with them, too. She's singing along to Lauryn Hill. You know what I mean? She's singing along to, you know what I mean? We're watching the documentary about Roberta Flack together. You know what I mean? So my daughter's fine. She's not going to be fooled into thinking that this is how she has to be because mainstream radio told her that these hoes ain't loyal. She knows the balance. But the problem is a lot of young ladies don't get that balance. They don't get that other side. They don't have parents that understand how important that is. And people are busy sometimes. Like it's difficult. I'm very aware of it because I'm into it. But, you know, sometimes it's difficult. So we need organizations like Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen to be bigger, better, stronger, and we'll do everything we can to push them. The other thing, and again, Steve, this is what I said earlier. I'm bringing it back to this whole thing, is that too many people leave the conversation at hip-hop is misogynistic. Hip hop isn't for women. Hip hop and women don't mix, and that's why it was so important. It was so great to have them on this week. Obviously, it's a week before their event, but it was so great because you'll notice the article that I talked about in the beginning of the show, written by Stereo Williams on the Daily Beast, where he suggested that hip hop's OGs, hip hop's old school veteran artists, don't get any respect because of the same things, because of the radio. Because of hip-hop media, and they don't get any respect. And meanwhile, you know, rock groups like Rush or the Eagles can sell out arenas. And KRS-One, for example, has had a video on YouTube where he's come out and said, listen, I can't even get booked in the United States. I got to go overseas because nobody's booking me in the United States.
Hmm.
Now, he's right. And Stereo Williams, the author of the Daily Beast article, was right. But if you read my rebuttal, which exists on birthplacemag.com and now has several hundred Facebook likes and several thousand views, people have really taken to this article. It's really interesting. Birthplacemag.com, it's a top story. Check it out. I've said, listen, it does us no good. It doesn't help us in the least. If you're going to have a big platform like the Daily Beast or, I don't know, even allhiphop.com or what I found is some really weird outlets writing about hip-hop that really shouldn't be right. Forbes.com.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And you're writing about hip-hop when you don't really have anything more than a general consensus opinion to amplify. And Stereo Williams did this. It's a well-written article. I take nothing away from the brother. I don't know him, and I don't want to take anything away. It was a well-written article, and he brought up some great points. You know, the comparison is apples and oranges. You can't, let me tell you something, Steve. You can't seriously compare the Eagles to Public Enemy. The Eagles had like 15...
Exactly.
You have 15 albums. They toured for like 30 years. You know what I mean? A rock band in the 70s didn't have TV, didn't have barely radio. They went out and toured. They went out and created an experience for people that was built off of live.
Yeah, and they go off, they go out there with a full band. I mean, you know, a lot of hip-hop acts in the early times, I mean, never just went out with a DJ. They just go out with a DJ.
Sure,
and
they were
not
great
meant for stadiums.
It's not meant for stadiums. That's another point. It's not meant for stadiums. I saw KRS-One in a crowded-ass club. In a crowded-ass club in the Bronx. Club Boom. You know where that club was? Club Boom. You remember that?
No, but I
it was some hole in the wall, B. Like, it was some small-ass spot. It was, like, Brucey B's birthday. Yo, and he absolutely killed it. I was, like, foreheads back.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, you know, 22 years old. Like, I was blown out the water. I don't want to see KRS-One at MetLife Stadium. It's not that kind of thing.
Exactly. He's just going to stand there and, you know, he doesn't dance. So, you know, he'll walk around the stage maybe. And you got a guy on the,
They can be incredibly enthusiastic, but it's much more like one-on-one. It's not like one on 100,000. It's not the same thing. Now, there are some artists that can do that. Listen, he made the comparison against the Eagles and like Public Enemy. Public Enemy had like one or two albums that, you know, blew up worldwide. The Eagles had like 10, first of all. So they just have a bigger body of work. Secondly, Jay-Z sold out like 8 consecutive nights at Barclays Center in New York City when he announced his tour, right? So, yes, there are actually hip-hop artists that can sell out stadiums, and they do. Drake right now could go on tour anywhere in the world and sell out arenas. It's no problem. It's nothing.
Yeah.
So why is it that he targeted the OGs? Listen, the OGs, again, don't have the body of work. They didn't reach the amount of people that today's artists are reaching or the amount of people that those OG rock bands, reached. Not only that, they haven't always kept up with the times. But listen, he had a good point. He said media sucks. He says radio sucks, and he's right. And I'm tied in like this. KRS-One did a video where he said, "I can't get booked in the United States." Here's what's funny. He says, "Not enough people, you know, are paying attention or booking me." When I wrote my rebuttal to the article, I said, "Here's the problem with your synopsis, Mr. Stereo Williams." I said, "There are media that are supporting the OGs. There are media and radio shows and magazines that are putting their events on their calendar. And they are having people like Cormega call into their radio show. It's us. All right? In New York City, at least, it's Birthplace Magazine and the New York Hip Hop Report. It's me, Manny Faces, and you, Steve Ortiz. So when you write an article and says nobody's showing the OGs any love, but you don't take, which is an easy thing to say. Everyone knows that. You know, everyone could save 15% on car insurance by switching to Geico. Everybody knows that shit.
Because
you know
they said it enough.
Sure, everyone knows. We all know. We all know. Do you know that Birthplace Magazine did a story this week about a performance series at Brooklyn Bowl with the Soul Rebels? Now, the Soul Rebels are a brass band. They're from New Orleans, right? Like a 7-piece brass band. Super dope. They had a 3-day run at Brooklyn Bowl, which is a big venue. Not a stadium, sure, but it's a nice big venue. The first night, their special guest appearances were Black Thought from the Roots and Pharoah Monch. Okay. The second night, they had a special guest performance by Rakim. Oh, sorry. First night also, Black Thought, Pharoah Monch, Afrika Bambaataa on a DJ set. Afrika Bambaataa. Second night, the Soul Rebels, Rakim, DJ Enough. And the third night was Roy Hargrove, who's a musician, a Grammy-winning jazz musician, but he's worked with hip-hop acts in the past, so there's some hip-hop connection there. Previous story on Birthplace Magazine was Raekwon's song, where he actually did a song with Busta Rhymes and French Montana, of all people, Raekwon, French Montana, Busta Rhymes. The song's called Wall to Wall. I'm no big fan of French Montana because I'm a kind of an old school kind of guy. But the song wasn't bad. We posted it on Birthplace Mac. The story before that was an article by Bernadette. She rocks with us. She's sort of an executive editor. She helps us out on a bunch of things. She also writes a lot of pieces. And that article was Remembering Old Dirty Bastard. It was a reminiscence about, you know, it was like a remembrance of Old Dirty Bastard. Story before that was an event preview for Prime at Highline Ballroom, which was, of course, Prime is DJ Premier and Royce the 5'9". Story before that was a commentary on Grammys. The story before that was Nutso. It was a Roundup article. We had a bunch of stuff on that. We had a song by Nutso out of Queens, who's not an OG, but he's not a new Jack either. He's been rocking for a long time. But we had Action Bronson. We had Spit Gems. We had Manolo Rose and Rex Rel XL. So a Roundup of different artists from the area. The story before that was a dude who's been in the film game for a while, and he's just putting together a short film about being an artist coming up in the game. And the story before that was De La Soul and their De La Soul SB De La Soul Dunks, those Nike Dunks that came out, those super fresh Dunks from De La Soul that I almost got my hands on, Steve. Almost, but I'll tell you that offline.
Oh, really?
Almost. Not really, but like a guy through a guy through a guy. But my point is this. Check this out. Check how I wrap it all up. I wrote an article and said, we take care of the OGs. Right? Rakim, Black Thought, Pharoah Monch, DJ Enough, Afrika Bambaataa, Raekwon, Busta Rhymes, Old Dirty Bastard, DJ Premier, De La Soul. All featured within the last week and a half on Birthplace Magazine. So yeah, Stereo Williams, it's easy to write a long piece about how crappy radio in hip-hop is. I can write a piece about how crappy radio in hip-hop is, but instead, I wrote a 15-page legal document and sent it to the FCC to take them off the air. And then when they rebutted with lawyers that wrote a long-ass rebuttal, I wrote another 5 or 6 pages responding to their lawyers. That's what you do to make change. That's what you do. Don't waste my time, and don't waste America's time writing your articles about how crappy the OGs get treated by the media if you're not going to take 5 minutes to find out the media who are treating the OGs with respect. Because, damn it, we need it. We need the attention of a Daily Beast article. We need the attention of someone on Huffington Post who's writing about how crappy, you know, hip-hop does this or how crappy hip-hop does that. That's so easy now. You know how many hits I would get, how many likes I would get if I just wrote an article about how shitty, you know, Drake is?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of articles out there just, you know, writing negatively about hip-hop. Once it's like, you know, they're talking about the Drakes and the Nickys. And then, you know, there was actually a guy who commented on your piece about no respect for those who respect hip-hop OGs. This guy, Justin Matthews, he commented saying that, you know, Rush has always challenged themselves to make fresh material but despite their age. As a consequence, they've sold out shows, always full of supportive fans like me who want to hear the new and the old. And then at the end, he's like, you know, wish KRS was doing that. And then you wrote, you know, did you buy any of the 5 or so projects that KRS-One put out over the last 5 years?
That's it.
And there's a lot of people like that. You know,
there's so many people like that.
I could tell someone, oh, Premier, you know, you heard Premier's, you know, PR rhyme, and they look at you like, huh? Career still doing work?
So here's what I said, Steve.
People
are
very disconnected, and they gravitate to these articles. And they're like, yeah, man, that's right.
Absolutely. And they're wrong. And that's why, I hate to do this. I hate to do this, New York. I hate to do this hip-hop. Y'all listening to me live, I appreciate you. Y'all listening to me on the archive, you guys are doing the right work. You guys are putting in the right work. And call me up if you got something to say about this, because I'll take it to you. 646-378-1282. We got about 20 minutes left. Call us up. What do you think about all this? Hip-hop OGs get the respect. What about the media outlets to give them what they deserve? How come we're not being bigged up by these lazy writers? They're lazy. I'm not nothing against them, but they're lazy. They're not really doing journalism.
It is laziness.
They're just putting out
opinions. It's easier for them today. but they're still lazy. Like, how could that possibly be?
I don't know. That's
easier
that's
for them to get the information today than it was 20 years ago. Yet we have terrible writing out there.
We have terrible writing, and you know what? You're right, Steve. You said it yourself. It's the people. It's your fault, hip-hop fans. Read my piece on birthplacemag.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. I saw a show in Westbury, Long Island. The lineup was, understand what I'm saying, hip-hop. You're talking about OGs? You're talking about the OG situation? The lineup was Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh, Biz Mark, with DJ Mr. C on the Wheels of Steel. Special guests included Keith Murray and Little Vicious came out with Dougie Fresh. And it was one more.
Oh, Freaks.
Yes, and there's one more that I can't remember. Understand me what I'm saying, New York. Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, alone, right there. Biz Markie, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh. Come on. Westbury Music Fair. Y'all know that place? It's a nice big place. Holds about 3,500, 4,000 people. It's now
been around for a long time.
Been around for a long time. NYCB Theater at Westbury. All right? Hugely historic place. It's no slouch. Matter of fact, it's an amazing venue. The stage is in the middle, and it's a circular, you know, thing, and the stage actually spins very slowly during the whole night. So no matter where you are, you're going to see, even if you sit on the side, later on the stage is going to spin. You're going to be looking right at the artist. And, you know, it's amazing. I saw B.B. King there. It's an amazing venue. I saw John Legend there. It's an amazing venue. But here's the thing, Steve. It wasn't sold out. So when Stereo Williams on a Daily Beast says, well, hip-hop radio sucks and hip-hop media sucks, do you know who was telling people about this concert? We were. We don't suck. Yes, 99.9% of hip-hop radio and media suck. Yes, absolutely. Easy. I don't even say it anymore because it's obvious. So instead, I big up Bonfire Radio. Because I have my show on their network. I joined another network. I could do another show like this. Why would I join another network? Because they're doing good work, so I big them up. Why is it so hard for media to big up other media? Because they're lazy. They're about themselves. You're not doing us any service. You don't need to be writing for the Daily Beast and writing about hip-hop. You're not doing us any favors. All you're doing is repeating what everyone thinks. I'm getting tired of it, Steve. Look, this one touched me because we're a media that's doing the right thing, and you want to be out there saying that there's no media doing the right thing. No, there is. Even if we're the only ones, damn it. It's not your and it's not our fault that he doesn't know about us. You know how much research I put into something before I write something? That I'd be nervous or make sure that I'm not going to leave somebody out? Or call somebody out. If I wrote about Global Grind, I've called out Hot 97. Like, you know, you got to be careful when you call. I don't want to be, you know, looked at like I'm some kind of hater. I got real specific issues at hand. So for him to do that and not research the people who are doing it, even if there's one in the country and it's us, you need to write about us. And there's a couple others like us. So it's not just about me. But this is what they do all the time, Steve, and you said it. I could write an article about how great Drake is. Matter of fact, Complex did this. Complex, because Drake came out with his album, which was amazing in that he just dropped a mixtape as an album out the blue, and that everybody went and grabbed it, and that he literally has 14 songs on the Billboard top 10, you know, top 20 at one time, which has never happened before except for the Beatles. He literally has his entire album is on Billboard's top 20, which is amazing. People just flooded to it. And it's a good project. I've heard snippets of it. And I don't hate on Drake. I think Drake does great work. But in one of his songs, he called himself a legend, or "When I Die, Call Me a Legend." I forget the line. And Complex put it out. And it was a little quick, again, a quick opinion piece about how Drake is a legend. And this sparked so much discussion and so many people clicking the link and da-da-da-da. Great. Fantastic. Nice discussion to have. I thought it was actually a pretty decent discussion to have. But that's what these articles are. There's somebody putting out one side of an argument and letting it run and just letting people talk about it. without bothering to talk about the other hand, the other side of it. And I think that's really sloppy journalism. And it doesn't do hip-hop any favors. Now, when it's Drake and whether he's a legend or not, okay, whatever, not a big thing. But when you're sitting there talking about the OGs don't get respect, OGs get a lot of respect. There's a lot of them touring. I mean, who have we seen, Steve, in the past few years? Several times. Naughty by Nature, I've seen a couple times. I've seen Curtis Blow. We've seen you and me, Curtis Blow.
Brand Nubian.
Brand Nubian. Big Daddy Kane, multiple times. Rakim, multiple times. You know, the list goes on and on. Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh, both multiple times.
That was
you know what I mean?
Last year.
Das Effects, Roxanne Shanté. Who else do you want? Like, what OGs aren't out there touring and performing? And every one of these we told our audiences about. De La Soul at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. Busta Rhymes at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival with Leaders of the New School and A Tribe Called Quest. Q-Tip at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival alone has brought all these artists out. M.O.P., EPMD. Right?
Yeah.
So how are you saying that OGs get no respect? They're not able to book performances. I'm seeing them. So, yo, my response has been like, yo, basically, I mean, I didn't really say don't talk about what you don't know because I was close. You're not telling the whole story. So instead of complaining about the hip-hop media that you don't like, just like we say to people, stop complaining about the hip-hop artists that you don't like. You don't have to say, fuck the radio, we're not listening to the radio. Let us handle the radio. Because your little picket signs outside the radio or your change.org petitions to take Coco off the air in Indianapolis or somewhere. I see everything, B. I see everything. They're doing a change.org petition to take OT Genesis's Coco off the air. That's nice. It's great. It's not going to work. And guess what? It's censorship. So shut up. No, we don't want censorship. What we want is a better representation of hip-hop, music, and culture on any radio station that's going to claim to represent hip-hop. So we took them to the FCC, Hot 97, MS Communications. Let us handle that because you guys aren't – it's difficult. Like we spend time researching this. This is something we do. You guys got things to do, and I don't want you to have to worry about all that. But don't worry about Hot 97 not playing whatever. Support us. Okay? And by support, I'm not even asking for your money yet. You know what I mean? Me and Steve can't do this forever. We sit here every Sunday night. My baby's upstairs crying, and my wife is like, oh, man. You know what I mean? Long show tonight because, you know, she's antsy. Like, you know what I mean? I can't do this forever. We've done it for 116 episodes. We bring on Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen because you need to go to Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. We talk to all kind of artists, OGs and new jacks on this show. I'm trying to take this show to different levels, different platforms, national, because nobody talks about what we talk about like we talk about it. You need to know about this stuff. Support us. Don't give us money. I mean, you want to give us money, that's fine. Spread the word. Just tell somebody about our show. That's all you got to do. Because there is media out here trying to do the right thing. We're trying to tell you what's out there that's worthy of the people who clap it up for an article that says no one's giving the OGs any love. We give the OGs love. But who's giving us love? Remember Superman? He said, she Lois Lane, the original Superman, Christopher Reeve, she's falling out the building. Superman comes, he snatches her up, she's flying through the air. He's like, don't worry, I've got you. She says, you've got me. Who's got you? You see what I'm saying? Like, we holding up our end, man. We've been talking about New York hip-hop for 5 years, and now New York hip-hop is doing really well. Shouts to some of the great, you know, hip-hop families in New York City. Shouts to, you know, the lineup celebrating 6 years. This coming Saturday, I'm going to be DJing, by the way, at the lineup. 6 years. Of showcases. They used to be weekly, now they're monthly. First Saturday of the month at Sidewalk Cafe, 94 Avenue A, the lineup brings a great consortium of hip-hop acts, sometimes singers. I saw a girl one time, I forget her name, Steve, she brought a ukulele out. This is a hip-hop show. Like, they do ciphers in a whole nine. But they always invite, and this is a great band, a band called Fuse. Silent Night, the band called Fuse, the lineup, every first Saturday of the month, Sidewalk Cafe. They're a great band, great band. And they do hip-hop, and they do funk, and they're so dope. This girl came out with a ukulele, and we're like, all right. And she killed it, son. I never seen nobody rock a ukulele like. She was singing, she was plucking. It was dope. That's the kind of dope, man. And then somebody came out and spit bars. Like, that's the kind of thing you're going to get from the lineup. 6 years strong. Check them out this Saturday at the Sidewalk Cafe. I'll be on the one and twos. I just got booked. They just brought me on. As I did it once before, and I'm on as a special DJ guest. So happy to be able to, like, share this anniversary with them. They do really great things. But you're right, Steve. Hot 97 is not telling you about that. But it's really good. Like, I'm telling you, go, and if you don't like it, I'll buy you a drink. Like, I'm dead serious. If you don't have a good time at the things that we recommend to you, well, then, you know, tell us to go off the air. Tell us don't come back next Sunday. For 116 years and, you know, 200,000 people have been listening to us, man. And we know what we're talking about. I could go down a list of things that we called before the rest of the world, you know, picked up on. Like, come on, man. So support us. Go support the people we tell you about. Tell them you heard about it on the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces and Steve Ortiz. And, you know, that's a good thing. Let's see if you can come down Monday to Meridian 23, 161 West 23rd Street in Manhattan. It's a thing called Freestyle Mondays. It happens the first Monday of every month. It's been going on for 13 years. Shouts to Ill Spoken. He's an internationally touring MC, musician. Super dope on a freestyle tip. Hosts the show along with the lovely and talented Mariella. She's a singer, songstress. She sings hip hop. She sings R&B. She sings jazz. She's in a boogaloo band, Steve. She does some boogaloo stuff right now. Yeah. Mariella is the queen dopeness. If you don't know, boy, you'll fall in love. Watch when I tell you. Come to Freestyle Mondays. And it's a live game show battle with a live band backing up these MCs that are spitting head-to-head combat about a topic that's chosen on the spot. These guys are funny. They're intelligent. They can rap their asses off. And it's dope every time. It's a free show. Freestyle Mondays, again, tomorrow, March 2nd at Meridian 23. The weather will have been cleared up. The streets will be good. We expect you to be there. It's a free show. Come around 9 o'clock and they get things going. Meridian 23, 161 West 23rd Street in Manhattan, by the F train, I believe, by the 1 train, I believe, right over there. And it's dope, and I promise you, I'll buy you a drink if you think it's whack. Young Thug and Travis Scott are coming out to Long Island, Strong Island, where I rest. The Huntington Paramount is on New York Avenue right there. A dope new venue. It's been open for, I don't know, a couple of years now. Really nice venue. Lauryn Hill's been there. They've had a lot of acts there. It's a great-looking venue, great-sounding venue, and they're getting turned up on Friday, March 13th with Young Thug and Travis Scott. Don't know who else they're bringing with them. Metro Boomin on a DJ set, and you can have a great time there if you're into Young Thug and Travis Scott. Check that out. BirthplaceMag.com has your tickets. Check out the advertisement on birthplacemag.com. Click it and buy tickets. And if you're older like we are, trust me, your kids, your nephews and nieces, your younger folks in your family, they're listening to Young Thug. They're listening to that lifestyle joint on the radio, and they'll go in and have a good time. So buy them some tickets. Friday, March 13th, tickets on sale. The Paramount, Huntington, Long Island, Young Thug, Travis Scott, Metro Boomin, on the DJ set. They are sponsoring our show. We love them very much for doing so, and we hope that you go check them out. Of course, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen this Saturday, March 7th at Hostos Community College up in the Bronx. If you're just tuning in late, then wait for the show to end, refresh, and listen to the interviews we did. La Tere and Kathleen Adams from Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. They tell you what they do, why they do it. It's 8 years strong. I take my daughter. I always take my young ladies to go check out these amazing women doing amazing things in the name of hip-hop. And it's like what I've been telling you, Steve, all night, man. The conversation doesn't stop with the negative in hip hop. There, hip hop has a lot of problems.
Let me real quick. This comment. There was actually a comment on Stereo Williams' article.
Yeah.
Guy Night Dragon 10 saying, "Here's the cold." This is this guy's, you know, comment. Here's the cold, hard, ugly truth. Not one single hip hop artist is even in the same league as artists such as Billy Joel, The Stones, and Zepp, among tons of others. But that's just half of it. The other half is the fact that while, yes, white folks make up a good chunk of rap's audience, most of them view it as more of a novelty and at times a joke than serious music. And the white folks that grew up listening to rap in the late 80s and 90s on the radio and MTV wouldn't waste their time shelling out their hard-earned money to see a bunch of has-beens play a second-rate banquet hall. Besides, who wants to go to a concert and get shot?
Well, I mean, he had me until about halfway through there. You know what I mean? you know, but you're right. That's how they think that we think. He called out white people because I'm sure somebody commented that, you know, most fans of rap music or most purchases of rap music were white in traditionally and even still to some point that they wouldn't come out. But that's not true. Like, again, these things aren't true. But when you Snoop Dogg could sell out a concert. He could sell out an arena. I think he did. You know,
yeah.
Snoop and Puff just did theater at Madison Square Garden. Matter of fact, props to Hot 97 because it was a Hot 97 show. Snoop and Puff, and I'm sure the place was packed. You know what I mean? So Puffy could sell out. You know, Snoop could sell out. That's a 90s act. You know, is Dos Effects going to sell out MetLife Stadium by themselves as a headliner? No, but they never did.
Of course not.
Like, they were never that big. So why are people calling them out for not being able to do what they never did in the first place? The Eagles sold out concerts, you know, by the thousands because that was all people had. You couldn't turn on MTV and see a video. You had to go see them live.
Yeah,
and that created a relationship with the audience that hip-hop never really had. But, again, it exists later on because you have people. Look, rock and hip-hop they're not even the same age. So you have to look at the time that hip-hop became part of Americana. And even though Run DMC was huge, they didn't sell out by themselves. They had to bring the Beastie Boys and LL Cool J with them to make it, you know, to sell out for that first real sellout stadium tour. And at that point, hip-hop kind of came of age. This is 20 years prior. 20 years prior, these rock bands were selling. The Rolling Stones have been doing things from the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't say that somebody with, like, 20 years on hip-hop, you know, who's been selling out stadiums for 20 years could still sell out a stadium today. Yeah, they could do a couple of one-offs. But so can Jay-Z. So it's not like it doesn't exist. And besides, who wants to go to a concert and get shot? Like, that's what people think of us because Stereo Williams writes an article and doesn't explore both sides of it, doesn't explore the fact that hip-hop doesn't have to be in giant stadiums, that hip-hop artists, the OGs, do very well overseas because the hip-hop media and the hip-hop radio landscape is a certain way in America only. And like I said, OGs do play plenty of clubs and plenty of dates in America. And his article ends with, like, we shouldn't be happy that Rush is selling out an arena and Public Enemy is selling out a club. Public Enemy barely. I mean, yeah, maybe they did at their absolute peak. Wu-Tang Clan at their absolute peak.
Exactly.
But there's only a handful. Outkast, Run DMC at their absolute peak could sell out a stadium to begin with. It's not the relationship that hip-hop audiences have had with their OGs. So to call it out is to miss the point. And more importantly, to call media and radio out without giving love to the outlets that are doing things. It pains me because I actually give love to other organizations. I actually give love to other media. You want one? Here's a great podcast. I do great podcasts, and we do this great show. This guy's name is Tim Ezekiel. I don't have it in front of me. He does interviews with OGs every single week. I believe he has his segments on Chuck D's show, And You Don't Stop, which runs every Friday night from 8 to 10, I think, on WBAI in New York City. And this guy, Tim Ezekiel, in the library. His Twitter is at Library with Tim. All right? Now, here's a guy that does kind of what I do. Why would I big him up? Because he does it all the time. He's on Rap Station Radio, at Rap Station Radio, at Library with Tim. Because his interviews are with people like, Cormega and CL Smooth, and every like 2 weeks he's hitting me up, or I see his feed, and he's talking all kinds of OGs.
So
I'm happy to big up somebody else that's doing it. He talked to Chelsea Reject. I'm waiting to talk to Chelsea Reject. He's Tim Einenkel. Einenkel. Hits me up all the time. I retweet his stuff a lot. Because he interviews all these OGs. So I'm not going to sit here and say that nobody's doing it. If somebody asked me, yo, do OG, Master Ace, he's had Master Ace on there. DJ JS1, a friend of the room, he interviewed him. Joel Ortiz. Brian Coleman, who has a great book called Check the Technique that I interviewed on my other show. Right? This guy's interviewing Sadat X. This guy's interviewing A Tribe Called Quest. This guy's interviewing J-Live. This guy's interviewing, I'm just going through his Twitter feed, B. So, if you asked me to write an article about OGs in hip-hop and how they're being treated, I'm not going to say that, well, no one's giving them any love, because I took 2 minutes to research who is giving them love. And I could say, radio sucks and media sucks and they generally don't give the OGs any love. Thankfully, we have people like Birthplace Magazine that if you're in New York City and you look on their calendar and there's an OG playing in town. Now, I'll tell you one thing, Steve. These OGs also got to get on their game. We put stuff on the calendar for free. And a lot of these OGs don't reach out. Hundreds of people.
Like you said, the OGs, haven't mastered the art of, combining not just Facebook, but,
right.
Combining Facebook with real, advertising.
Absolutely. And I said in my article, I said, we need some of these promoters. Like I said, here was a show right here on Long Island. We cover Long Island. We put the show on our calendar. People knew about the show from us. But, you could have paid us for some advertising. Like, don't cut corners. Don't think that, Facebook invites and some flyer you make on, MS Paint is going to be enough. Like, a lot of these organizations, a lot of these promoters, they don't understand the business side of things. They don't understand internet advertising now. It's a changed game. So we need them to come talk to us and see if, we could be a solution to them. But it's not up to me to find them. It would take you a little research to find us. We don't have that big a footprint, but you should know who we are. We see what you're doing. We know who you are. So there's a lot more than just the radio sucks and the media sucks. There's media out there that are bigging you up. There's media out there that you should be paying to advertise with and support so that we could have more, listeners or subscribers so that more people know about your event to get those people in the seats. That's how business works. You can't just imagine it's not going to happen. Imagine it's going to happen and wait for it to happen. It doesn't happen because you didn't do anything. So there's a lot of factors to play here. And it's the people. Because, Steve, we see people all the time complaining on Facebook. Ain't no good hip-hop around, man. Hip-hop sucks. There's nothing happening no more. Have you looked? Like you said, this guy said, I wish KRS-One would do this, would make material. I said, KRS-One's made 5 albums. In the last
exactly.
6 years, he did an album with Buckshot. He did an album with P Money. He did a BDP album with Kenny and BDP. Kenny,
Kenny
he did
Parker?
He did a BDP album with Kenny Parker. This is like 2 years ago, and this guy literally said to argue my point, said, listen, you know, these rock bands, these OG rock bands, you know, they come out with new stuff, you know. I wish KRS-One would do that. Well, people, listen to me. We want, and I don't want to be the OG show either, man. I wasted all night. Well, Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen was super dope, and there are a lot of new Jills that are in that show. But you know, wasted a lot of time talking. You know, ASAP Ferg came out with a couple of new videos. Action Bronson came out with a couple of new videos. Action Bronson album is dropping. You know, a lot of new Jacks, man. A lot of new Jack stuff going on. But I had to make sure y'all understood something. If you guys don't support us, we can't tell you what's going on. And I'm tired of these big platforms letting people write about hip-hop, and you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to call them out every time, guys. And hopefully they'll listen to us and start asking us for our opinions, because we're going to be fair to the media that's putting in work, because we're not jealous. We're not haters. We're not going to turn our back. Look, how many times have I come out against Hot 97, Steve? And meanwhile, when I just said they threw a big concert and it was dope, I just gave them credit. But meanwhile, I want them off the air. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. So,
true.
That's where I'm at tonight. That's where we are here at the New York Hip Hop Report. Thank you for listening to us, man. Really me going off tonight. I know I haven't been, we missed you for 2 weeks, and this is what's bothering me. Check my whole recap of this whole issue about OGs getting respect. Birthplacemag.com. It's getting a lot of buzz. People are really interested in what I had to say. And I'd love to hear your comments or see your comments at the bottom of that article. Nobody called in tonight, but we see you in the guest room, in the chat room. Thanks for checking in. Be sure to join us every Sunday night. We really do want to hear your voice, though. So, you know, next time maybe give us a call. You can always call us up live and talk to us and tell us, you know, what you think. I know there's only a limited amount of people that are able to check us out live. You know, listen, we got to get our voice louder as well. Hoping to see maybe we can go to a different platform and get some real attention. And we know that we will spark controversy and dialogue and discussion and debate. And it's all good because it's all about New York hip hop. It's all about hip hop in general, the music and the culture. We're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m., the New York Hip Hop Report with me, Manny Faces, him, Steve Ortiz, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York hip hop. Birthplacemag.com/events, the amazing world-renowned, world-famous New York area hip-hop event calendar. On that calendar, you will see Freestyle Mondays is happening tomorrow, March 2nd, 9 o'clock, Meridian 23 in Manhattan. Super dope event. I'll be there. We sponsor that event. We love that event. We think that you will, too. Young Thug and Travis Scott will be hitting up the Paramount in Huntington, Long Island on March 13th. Check that out. You can buy tickets off of birthplacemag.com. We have an advertisement over there. You see who's paying for advertisements and who's not? That's all I'm saying. Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen is this Saturday. It's May 7th from 2 to 5. Get there a little bit early. Hostos Community College. That information is on the Birthplace Mag event calendar. And, of course, the lineup happening later that night, Saturday the 7th. They're celebrating their 6-year anniversary. Super, super dope. If you come out and check me out on the ones and twos, I'll be DJing, the guest DJ at that event. But even without me being there, it's an awesome event that goes on every month and always has great performances. Not only the band, but guest artists. Khalil Johnson, formerly known as Khalil Cash. Khalil Johnson is a featured guest. Ellie Espy is going to be performing. She's super dope. I've seen her before. She's on some, you know, sing-songy kind of tip, and she's cute to look at, so you're going to have a good time checking her out. And there's also going to be King Capo. That's my man. He's going to be rocking, and Isaac Sawyer. So, again, 6 years, Sidewalk Cafe, 94 Avenue A, Manny Faces on the ones and twos, Live Cyphers is the band, open mic, no cover, no dress code, all ages, all love, food, drink, hosted by Silent Night and the band called Fuse. The lineup this Saturday, March 7th, starting around 10:30 p.m. Those are the events of note coming up in the future, and we'll be back here next Sunday night at 10 p.m., God willing, talking about New York hip-hop with me and Steve. What do you think, Steve? All good?
All good, man. Great show.
Thank you, man.
Thanks
to you, man.
Archives, if you missed us. catch us on the archives today.
Absolutely. If you're just checking us out, refresh this page as soon as we're done and catch a great interview at Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen. The ladies are doing great things over there, something you could take your family to. And you might be listening on the archives, but we'd love if you listen to us live. Sunday nights, 10 p.m., you call us up live and we'll talk to you sports talk radio style. It's like sports talk radio, just hip-hoppier. We'll be back here at 10 o'clock next Sunday night. My name is Manny Faces. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And spread the word. NYHipHopReport.com. Join the email list at NYHipHopReport on Twitter, Facebook.com/NYHipHopReport. And I am Manny Faces on Twitter. He is Grover Box on Twitter. You hit us up and, you know, we'll tell you about all kind of things in New York hip-hop. Thanks for listening, y'all. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. We out.
Yes. For sure. We need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know,
that, man,
yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Manny Faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Tailor made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.